The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live.
Hi again, everybody. Welcome on in. Coming up on today's show, Stuart Mandel, editor-in-chief of The Athletic, the college football side of things. Now that Pac-12 media days are behind us, the Arizona State scandal, the growth of U of A, the conferences and how they're being aligned and all of that, what makes sense, what doesn't make sense within the Pac-12, all that with Stuart Mandel. That comes up here in about 15 minutes. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. We do appreciate their support. Stuart Mandel here shortly. All right, so Chris Paul, let's start there. So it is opt-out time, and he has decided to opt out. That doesn't necessarily mean that he is leaving, but until the bottom line is signed on the deal, I sit here today, and of course there's the fanboys out, oh, he's going to sign, he's going to resign. This is not time to be fanboy. This is time to look at it and say this is business. Chris Paul walked away from $44 million. And how much of that is he going to recoup? He is head of the NBA Players Union. So you have to put that into consideration when you look at what Chris Paul is going to do with his next move. At least I would think so. I wouldn't think that he'd go somewhere and say, yeah, you know, I said no to 44 and I took two. What sense does that make? Of course, the internet's having fun with this because over the weekend, Chris Paul was out with Russell Westbrook in Los Angeles and the two were hanging out and some paparazzi caught them on camera. And so, of course, there is the connection of, well, Chris Paul is going to join Russ, who's going to be with LeBron because LeBron is Chris's best friend. And you can take all that money and put it aside because Chris will make so much bank on other things out in Hollywood and he can just hang out there rather than come back to Phoenix. Or the other side of the street is, you know, he's got a great deal here. He can have a bigger deal here. He can put this team in a place where some players like DeAndre Ayton and Mikal Bridges get new deals, where Devin Booker, you have to start looking at Devin Booker's deal. These people are like, well, Devin Booker's just going to stay here. How many guys start and finish with their team? Tilt your head for a second with me. Come on. How many guys start and finish with their team? Again, if you're going to be fanboy on this deal, it's, oh, well, he's going to be here forever. Really? You sure about that? You know, I can go all the way back to Dan Majerle would never be traded, never leave. Of course he was. Fans were Jeff Hornacek, go back before that. And you can get into, well, a guy like Sean Marion, he's going to be a son for life. Amari is going to be here forever. Steve Nash, never going to leave. So just at some point in time, you know, the days of a player saying, I'm only going to wear this one uniform, I'm only going to be with this one city, you have to look 2 and 3 years out because the disrespect card is always out there. The, well, I'm the face of the franchise, why wouldn't you come back to me even though I'm in the middle of a big deal? Because that's the way business is. And I don't know if this owner is going to be in that business mindset because he is first and foremost a banker. Doesn't being critical of Roberts, just who he is. And so the questions have been out there, is Robert Sarver going to stick with this team and keep them together at all costs? I can't help it. Robert Sarver can't help it if Chris Paul is like, yeah, you know what? I just kind of want to see what's out there. And then out of the blue, it's he's back with the Suns. Hey, everything's all forgiven and I'm great. And then you have to take the stance of, well, okay, Jrue Holiday was on him in the playoffs. Jrue Holiday wore him down. Chris Paul's going to be 37. It's hard to catch up with Father Time. So as hard as it is in sports to keep your hometown heroes together, the business side of it is what I am interested in right now. Do I think this team has enough to go have another run? Sure. But their depth guys, their guys like Campaign that are sitting out there, all teams got to do is come along and say, you know what? You're coming. You're gone. And don't be fanboying. If you're going to fanboy, then just go be fans. Knock yourself out. If you're going to look at this stuff objectively and just put it all to the side and not well, this is what is best for my team. Can't do that here. This is big boy sports stuff that's going on. The Olympic basketball team is going to play Spain next. Ricky Rubio is going to be on the floor. It'll be fun to see him. And for the United States, if they get through these next three games and they win a gold medal, it would be a tremendous achievement. It feels to me like there's a lot of hate that is going on around the Olympic basketball team, specifically towards Greg Popovich and even some towards Jerry Colangelo. Jerry is leaving. Grant Hill is going to take over. Pop is not well liked by the media because he likes to poke fun at the media and even be adversarial and confrontational with them. So there's those that just have it in for him anyways. People that can't just deal with it, you know? So, and if anybody's going to get on Jerry's case, because Jerry went after Kevin Love a little bit over the weekend, and I'm fine with that. Kevin Love did not show up in great shape. Kevin Love's not even part of the team now. Should Greg Popovich have taken him to begin with? You know, that's a conversation that you look at and say, well, who else is out there? DeAndre Ayton's from the Bahamas, just so we're clear about that. All right? So the Olympics, I'm looking forward to that. I was watching, you know, the thing about the Olympics right now is the whole topic of mental health and depression and anxiety, and it focuses around Simone Biles. But Caleb Dressel, who's won five gold medals, said he's tired of swimming. He doesn't want to swim. He's done with it because he's put everything into it. And so I guess there is the, when you're sitting at home and you're watching them and you want them to go out and compete, and they say, like, Simone Biles has taken so much criticism. There's stuff in the media that's just embarrassing of people being critical of her because she needed a mental health break. There's some of those in society that's, well, that's just the way you're raised, and throw some mud on it and get out there and play. And that's not healthy. It's good to be competitive. I've looked at what's gone on with Simone Biles in this last week and put it on my own self. The last 2 weeks, lost a really close family friend. Phone call comes in from Las Vegas corner. They're gone. Son had to have severe knee surgery that's coming up next week. And I've got to sit here and perform. It happens to all of us, guys. It happens to all of us. Okay? And you got to put all those things off to the side. So for Simone Biles to do what she's done, I think it's very brave. I think it's courageous. Mental health is now something that people are willing to discuss openly. We've been doing it here on the site for the last couple of years. It's not always comfortable. I have friends that will call or that just need a place to go talk, a safe place to go talk. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing. I think being vulnerable is fine. I was vulnerable. I wrote about it on the site. Go see it. You know, it's been the most read thing the last couple of days. Vulnerability, there's something good about it. I love the end of Mexico and USA at the Gold Cup. I was in Vegas, as mentioned, and the way that it ended, and for the United States and for the people that are pounding on the Mexico soccer team and how they ended up losing to the United States and wasn't even the USA's best team, it's all part of sports. I think if you just keep it in perspective, it's a lot of fun. In football, the Cardinals go through another week of workouts, and then they have their first preseason game a week from Friday. If you're coming here and asking me, what do you think of the third string linebacker? I simply don't care. August is the worst month of the year on the sports calendar. Preseason football is the biggest ripoff. It is. So I'm not going to get into that too much. When there's something like Carson Wentz being out 12 weeks and Brett Hundley, local kid, goes to Indianapolis and signs a contract, that's pretty important. And our buddy Michael Fabiano and I are going to start chopping it up again, a fantasy football focus that we do with Fabs. I think that's going to get started later on this week. For now, though, we step aside and then Stuart Mandel. All things college football. There's a lot going on in the Pac-12 conference, his view of ASU and the scandal, the U of A, and much, much more. That is next with Stuart Mandel from The Athletic. I'm Brad Sussmad. All right, as promised, let's dive further into where the Pac-12 is today, what it will look like in a few years from now, all sorts of things with Stuart Mandel, editor-in-chief with The Athletic. I subscribe to The Athletic. You should too, because Stu and his staff, Doug Haller here in the Valley, does great work as well. What is your gut telling you today as we sit here the 2nd of August about what the Pac-12 is going to look like after their new TV deal, Stuart? Years from now.
Yeah, it's a great question. I don't think they're in any rush to expand because of what the SEC did. I think they feel like they're going to be in pretty good position regardless. The Big 12 basically evaporating means there's one less competitor on the marketplace for a big TV deal. The thing they have to be concerned about is if this really goes haywire, if everybody goes crazy and starts wanting to expand, might somebody come looking to poach some of their top programs like USC? Mm-hmm. But there's not an obvious, you know, the people who think they should just start adding schools to add schools, there's not obvious targets out there. So I think unless there's going to be some sort of drastic realignment in which another conference like the Big Ten or the ACC comes in and forms some sort of, wants to decide to go west, that it's not necessarily a given that it'll look that much different.
Stuart Mandel with us for a couple of minutes from The Athletic. Make sure you subscribe to The Athletic. All right, let's go down the path of expansion to other conferences or with other conferences. ACC with an ACC West, that's out there. Do you think that's realistic at any point in time?
Well, it's just a matter of how desperate is the ACC. Their TV deal, because they locked it in for 20 years, is in danger of becoming very, very behind the other conferences. And the only way to change that would be to add new members. And obviously, they'd love to have Notre Dame come on as a full member. Notre Dame, I think, is more sunk into independence than ever after the playoff expansion announcement. So, you know, a really bold, drastic thing would be to form some sort of Western alliance. But I tend to think that that's, you know, the news, the Texas OU news was fresh. Everybody was just looking at every possible permutation. And that was one that got thrown out there. I think when you start thinking about the practicality of it, it doesn't make a lot of sense.
Okay, so then you look at the Big Ten joining up, marrying up. Again, big TV deal the Big Ten already has. Why would they want to share with a conference that has a terrible TV deal like the Pac-12? I can't see that happening, Stuart, but am I wrong here? You put a Chicago market with an LA market, advertisers say, okay, we could throw more dough in there.
One thing you might see is those two conferences have such a longstanding relationship as it is because of the Rose Bowl and because a lot of their schools schedule each other anyway. Could you do some sort of formal scheduling alliance like they tried to do a decade ago, where maybe the Big Ten says, look, we don't need to add more schools. We already make a lot of money as it is. But if people are going to start saying the SEC schedule is so much tougher than us, then, hey, we're going to play our 9 conference games. And we're going to make sure that, you know, just like this year, an Ohio State plays in Oregon or such every year. That could certainly add value.
Stuart Mandel with us. All right. Then adding schools outside of what people are looking at. I heard at Media Day from several people, they should look at Houston, TV market, TCU. It's a private Christian. They didn't do anything with BYU. Houston makes a little bit of sense if you want to get a footprint into Texas. But really, is there anybody else? I got these Oklahoma State fans here in the Valley that are on me saying, take us, take us. Do any of those make sense to you, Stuart?
From a pure TV value, no. I ran the numbers for a story early last week. And the reality is without Texas and Oklahoma, those other Big 12 schools, TV ratings are not that different than a Group of 5 school, an AAC school. It's really, really humbling, but it's true. The only question for the Pac-12 needs to think about is, do we need to just get into Texas, into the state of Texas for recruiting purposes? Now that the SEC is going so heavy into the state of Texas, now that Ohio State gets a lot of kids out of Texas, sure, you know, the Pac-12 schools recruit Texas now. Would it help if, like, you added a Houston and an SMU, let's say, just to be able to say to recruits, hey, come play in LA or come play in Oregon, and we're going to go play in front of your family in those cities every year? You know, it's certainly, I think you saw that with A&M when they joined the SEC and they were able to sell, come play here in Texas and be in the SEC. It's something to consider, but from a monetary standpoint, it's not like adding Houston is going to then cause ESPN or Fox to pay the Pac-12 more than they would now.
Before I get you out of here, I want to run through some Arizona angles on all of this. The football brand of ASU tarnished right now with what's going on with the Herm and recruiting scandal. In U of A, Jed Fish has taken over arguably one of the worst programs in the nation when you just look at the last several years. The football brand in Arizona for these two schools, conferences like the Pac-12 say, it's nice having them, but they got to step their game up out here, don't they, in this state?
ASU is always viewed as the sleeping giant, and then
they sleep a lot.
And here they are right on the brink of what they thought was going to be a really good season, and maybe it still will be, and this scandal engulfs them. You know, U of A has had such limited success in football. I do really commend Jed Fish. I think he's done a great job of coming in there and making people pay attention to Arizona football. For some of the Teddy Bruschi hire, the Gronk stunt at the stadium, things like that. But of course, he's still got to actually coach and recruit and win games. So You know, I think a lot of people always wonder why those schools aren't better given their access to great recruits, especially even in the state of Arizona, right? In an ideal world, a Spencer Rattler would be playing for one of those schools, not Oklahoma. But that's going to take a lot of work by those coaches to get those schools to be destination schools for the kids in the state.
Yeah, just to follow up on that, Brock Purdy never got an offer from ASU. Chuba Purdy never got an offer.
That's got to be pretty frustrating, yeah.
It's a point of contention with fans in this state. Arizona State has signed 8 players in the state of Arizona in the last 4 years. So you're preaching to the choir that want to bring out the shovel and say, and Antonio Pierce says, well, we'll just go national.
Well, Arizona State has upgraded their recruiting, but apparently did it in a very shady way. So, you know, I don't think that was the right strategy either.
Before I get you out of here, on that front, what is the national view of Arizona State as we sit here today with that scandal?
I think everybody is just waiting for the shoe to drop. I mean, in normal times, I don't know that people would be all that offended by some of the things that they're being alleged to have done, but to have done it during COVID, during a time when everybody was supposed to be prioritizing safety. You know, I've talked to people at many schools who are just, they're just aghast that they would have done that, that they would have snuck kids in there, much less paid for their visits illegally and all that stuff. So from what we've read and what we've heard, it seems like they've just, whoever the disgruntled people were that outed them, have just set this up for the NCAA to, and they've done their work for them for the most part. So I would imagine something's coming at some point, but the fact that Herm was still at Media Day and is, as far as we know, will be coaching this fall tells you that ASU feels at least somewhat confident that nothing's coming just yet.
He was under attack though on Media Day. It wasn't like it was, you know, one or two questions. He was doing a little bit more than weaving and bobbing.
To be expected. He's the head coach of a program under investigation. He himself has been implicated in that. So obviously he should be asked those questions, and I understand why they would no comment them. But, you know, we know they've placed at least one assistant coach on leave. I don't think he'll be the last one. You know, we'll see. Schools generally take two different approaches in this. Sometimes you just go ahead and fire everybody and try to, you know, beg for mercy and move on. And others, and we've certainly seen this in college basketball, just become very adversarial with the NCAA and try to lawyer their way out of it. So we'll see which direction ASU is planning to take.
Yeah, it's kind of like U of A with Sean Miller, and the tape never showed
exactly
up.
Like, and for years, everybody was like, what are you waiting for? But, you know, he was a winning coach, and they protected him as long as they could.
Stuart, good stuff. Appreciate the time. I know there's a lot going on. Thanks.
Thank you.
There's Stuart Mandel with us. Make sure you subscribe to The Athletic. We appreciate his time and insight, and we're back with more after this timeout.